Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, thank you for your word. Your word that is our food. Help us to feast upon it and to accept the truths that it offers as the food that will sustain us. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Back in the days were steamships. Only the rich white people sailed at sea, because it took a long time and you had to have a lot of food and so on and so forth. Well, one day while a ship was sailing, something happened to the ship and it was about to sink. And terrified, the white people aboard didn't know what to do. So someone suggested that they do what the black folks do. Pray. However, unfortunately, no one knew what to say. So they all agreed, and they called John, who was a black cook on the ship, to come up on the deck and to pray. And he said, okay. He came up and he started like this. He said, Lord, on the day of hunger, I went to a restaurant to get something to eat, and the sign said, whites only. I went to the water fountain to get water, and the sign said, for whites only. And then I wanted to use the restroom, but the sign said, for whites only. So, Lord Almighty, forgive me, because I know this isn't Christian. When this ship sinks, let it be for whites only. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, I know that that is painfully funny, because it pokes fun at a very difficult time of our history. But I'm also aware that there is a very important truth in that story. Because you see, the white people on the church didn't know how to pray. They didn't have a relationship with God. They had not fed themselves with the body of Christ. Oh, sure, they may have gone through the motions, but they hadn't really received it. In our passage from John, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Everyone who has learned and heard and learned comes to me. Comes to eat. This is the eating of the bread of life. While we refer to this in the communion service, it's more about following the life and the teachings of Jesus. We take Jesus into us when we incorporate Jesus' life in our lives. And this is more than just eating a little square piece of bread or a wafer and drinking a thimble full of juice. This is finding strength and food for the journey that will last 40 days. And 40 days in Bible speak means a long time. I love how Michaela Buziz, a Bible commentator for Sojourners Magazine, speaks about it. The verbs used in this sequence, while translated as the more general word eat in English, were originally the Greek word used to describe eating in a ravenous animal-like nature, closely to gnaw. She said, this usage emphasizes the true fleshiness of Jesus' body and therefore its suitability as real food for the journey. She goes on to say, don't be fooled. Christianity is not a tea party. The Eucharist is not a platter of tea sandwiches. Christianity is a difficult journey with deserts to cross, mountains to climb, and the Eucharist is the only real food suitable for the task. And the word Eucharist, I would also mean the larger, expanded idea of taking Christ into us. Without Christ, we can't know the abundant life that gets us through the deserts and over the mountains. The angel fed Elijah for several days. before he was able to make the trek through the wilderness. Now, I find it interesting that the angel basically tells Elijah that he's going on a long journey. See, his journey was going to end there at the broom tree. I'm just going to lay down, fall asleep, and die. And yet, when Elijah gets to Mount Horeb, God says, "What are you doing here?" The journey and the question are important on several fronts. You see, just to remind ourselves where we were before this story, Elijah had faced off with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Now, Jezebel, the queen and wife of King Ahab, was believed in the Baal cult. And all of these prophets or priests of Baal were hers. Well, Elijah and the Baal priests and prophets face off, and Elijah's God wins. And Elijah tells all the people to kill the prophets and the priests of Baal, and they do. And so Jezebel gets quite angry, and she sends her people after Elijah and says, "I will make your life like the life of one of my priests." And so he takes off. He's fleeing. And that's where we catch up to him in our story. You see, on Mount Carmel, Elijah reestablished the covenant between God and the people. That whole thing of building the sacrificial altar and everything, and God coming down and consuming it, was a reestablishment of the covenant. And where is his journey going to end up? Where God had established a covenant with Moses. Perhaps now, though, Elijah shares a little bit of his arrogant pride when he says, "I'm no better than my ancestors were. Look, I reestablished a covenant, now I'm running for my life. I'm sorry, God, I'm a failure. Just let me die." Perhaps he expected to be a great savior and everybody would thank him and life would be wonderful. But it crumbled around him. He's been stripped of his arrogance and he's been led to Horeb. Or is being led to Horeb, where God will say, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" God, I was under a broom tree and you led me here. That's not a question of what are you doing. It's a loaded question. It reminds Elijah and each of us that we need to keep God and Jesus in our sights, or we will find ourselves in the wilderness with nothing but our pride and a bottle of water if we're lucky. The food for the journey, though, is what will get us through. The food for the journey is what will keep us on track and in our covenant with God, attached to God. Respecting the covenant is how we eat of the bread of life. The author of Ephesians makes this very clear. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then before that, he tells you how you can imitate Christ. And it's only this way that we can get through our wildernesses. The wilderness of a lost job. The wilderness of a loved one dying. The wilderness of our lives falling apart for some reason. And we all have those times. Now, some might say, well, if we take in Christ, our lives shouldn't fall apart. Well, I'm sorry to say, folks, we are members of the human family. And because of that, our lives will fall apart from time to time. And God, taking in Christ, does not take us out of that. Or take God and taking Christ into us does not take us out of that, out of the world's problems. Jesus is clear about that. When he prays to the Father later in the Gospel of John, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I'm asking you to protect them from the evil one. We find ourselves waking up in the wilderness from time to time. And we have to take Christ in as food. Food from angel to complete our journey. Food from angels. You know, over the years of my ministry, I've heard people share with me that if it hadn't been for the presence of God at work in their life, they wouldn't have gotten through something. Or if it hadn't been for the presence of God working through somebody else, they wouldn't have gotten through something. Gladys May Aylward was an evangelical Christian missionary to China a long time ago. Her story was told in a book entitled The Small Woman, which was published in 1957, written by Alan Burgess. And there's this wonderful little story about her life, and I love it. During her harrowing journey out of war-torn Yangcheng during the communist takeover, she faced one morning with no apparent hope of reaching for safety. And a 13-year-old girl tried to comfort her by saying, "Don't forget what you told us about Moses in the wilderness." To which Gladys is said to have replied, "Yes, my dear, but I'm not Moses." And the little girl said, "Yes, but God is still God. Out of the mouths of babes. God is still God. God will be with us in the wilderness. But we have to do our part. We have to reach out to God. We have to feed on the bread of life, the food of the journey." The wilderness can be any number of things for us. Perhaps some issues have risen between you and a member of a family or of a friend, once close friend. God gives you the love and forgiveness to repair the breach. That way, we don't have to be like the little girl who was being punished. And so the family was sitting at the dining room table, and she was sitting on a little table by herself in the corner of the dining room. And the family paid no attention to it until they heard her prayer. "I thank thee, Lord, for preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." We don't have to be like her because we don't have to think of them as enemies. We don't have to think of them as being ornery or whatever else we might want to call them. We can use the gifts, the food of grace and love, and repair the breach. I know it's easy to forget God in difficult times because our minds are thinking, "Okay, how can I get out of this?" We try to work overtime to find our own solutions. Did you notice Elijah didn't know where he was going after the broom tree? In fact, he didn't think he was going anywhere after the broom tree. But certainly when the angel said, "You're going on a journey," Elijah said, "Oh, I am? Where?" We don't know what our journey will be like. But God says, "Trust me. Know me. Follow me. And I will lead you to a new place. To the promised land. The kingdom. A new relationship filled with hope." I'm reading a wonderful book right now. It's called Following Atticus by Tom Ryan. It's about Tom's adventures and his philosophical learnings as he and that he learns from his little schnauzer, Atticus E. Finch, as they go mountain climbing together. And last night, he's talking about, he's reached a moment in their life together, he and Atticus, on a mountain. And he uses a quote from Joseph Campbell, who's a mythologist, very popular today, that speaks to the closeness of God. Although Campbell is speaking of the mythological God, Zeus, and all of the pantheon. But what he also says is true about the God that we worship, the one God. Campbell writes, "Besides, the gods had their benevolent side too. I have found that you only have to take one step toward the gods, and then they will take 10 steps towards you. That step, the heroic first step of the journey, is out of, or over the edge of, your boundaries. And it often must be taken before you know that you will." And then Ryan says, "A leap of faith. Christ gives us all we could want or need, but we have to take that leap and say, I'll go where you lead through this wilderness." We've been given everything. No matter what our color is, no matter what our ethnic background is, no matter what our faith, our preferences, our biases, but we have to take the first step to relate with, to reestablish the covenant, to be with God. And there will be food for the journey. What wilderness journey have you been putting off taking that you need to take? Talk to God and trust that you will be given the food needed and guided in it. Amen.